We had a lunch wrap today and asked people at the tables to tell a story of a great salvation that happened this year. Yeah, Azerbaijan, India, China, and we just heard great stories. A 14-year-old boy who had tuberculosis, both lungs, in a hospital, miraculously healed, and then going out and with tracks and every. Then when the patients come into the hospital with TB, he hands them a track and says, "Believe in Jesus and you will be healed." You know, this is, we heard, I just was amazing time hearing about God's work through the year. That's what we're looking at. And when we gather like this, we look at each other and recognize what God is doing. Our first speaker, Don Barnes, from Greenfield, Indiana, a suburb of Indianapolis. And many of you know him through the years. He and Lori have fervently, with like real heart dedication, followed Christ. He would call here and say, "Send a pastor." You know, he would call and say, "Send a pastor. We just bought a little church building, and we need a pastor." And every phone call, I was wondering, "Well, you do it." But it took some time. But he's really doing it. He has a full little church and a real work of God in that place. So we want to welcome Don to come up and share the word.
Welcome. Indiana, has anyone been through Indiana? It's very flat. You can stand on your front porch and watch your dog run away for 3 days. That's this church that Pastor Schaller was talking about was built in 1900, and through the years, several different denominations have occupied it. And one day it was on sale, and we decided that we should buy it. And it's tired. It's old. It's 116 years old. And like me, it's just tired. And it's in a neighborhood. Believe it or not, it's right diagonal on the same block as my. So I walk to church on Sunday, and it gives me time to be with the Lord. And I walk through the neighborhood, and there, right across the street from the church, the front door, there's a big house that they've turned into apartments. And on the porch, there's a man and his wife, and they say the same thing to me every Sunday morning. "You know, there's birds getting in your church. There's a hole in there, and the sparrows are getting in that church. They're living in that church. They're in that church." Every week, I walk to church, and I'm kind of going like this, and I know that they're going to say something. And I haven't had a chance to run them out, but you just know. You know they're going to hear, "Hey, there's birds. By the way, there's birds." And I've asked them to come to church. And they say, "Well, we work on Sunday." And I can't figure that out because they're always on their porch. They're not working. So one particular day, I'm walking to church, and I have my keys out because I always get there early so I can spend time with God and turn the air conditioner on. And they said, "There's birds getting in your church. They're in your church." I don't know why I said this, but I just looked at them and I said, "You know, they're birds. And they have bird brains. But they're smart enough to be in church." God put this, gave me this little passage. It's in Mark 6, verses 30 and 31. And it's when he sent his disciples out for their first door-knocking adventure. And he sent them out two by two, and he told them what to wear and what not to wear and how to do it. And so as they arrived back from their adventure, they were gathered around Jesus to tell them all that they had done and all that they had taught. But it was a time when it was so busy. It was so busy. And the Bible says people were coming and going. And you can imagine that in your mind's eye, like convention. We come to convention, it's busy. People coming and going, and you're hugging and kissing and all the people that you haven't seen for a year, and it's just busy and busy and busy. And they didn't even have time to eat, the Bible says. So Jesus said to them, come with me. Come with me by yourself. Don't tell anyone. Just come with me to a quiet place, because you need a little rest. And this reminds me, it's significant because as believers, we get not burdened, but we get caught up in the everyday activities of life. We do. We come and go, and there's things, issues every day. Back and forth. I mean, the example here, look at what is going on. There are people here that are busy, busy, working, setting up this, building booths, tearing this down, making sure that the golf tournament works out, and we just stay busy. The only thing he wants is to be alone with us for a while. He calls us in, and it's a wonderful, intimate experience. He wants us to be with him, and it's an intimacy that takes place where we exchange our own understanding, and we receive what he has for us today. And in that passage, it was so cool because the first thing that he wanted was to be with them. He said, come, come on, be with me. Nobody else, just us. Just us. And I will refresh you. And that's what he wants to do with us. He wants to refresh us with his word and with his promises. That's an amazing thing to me, that I am learning. The most important thing that I have is God's word. The most important thing that we have as believers is God's word. It's the purest form of truth that we can have. And I looked at this, my wife and I, we were talking to each other, and wisdom for our times. And you know, there's two different types of wisdom. There's the wisdom that the world offers, and that's for a select few. Just for a select few. But if you're a child of God, we have access to all the wisdom he wants us to have. Access to that. We have a divine interpreter that will teach us. We have body members that we can be around. But what I'm saying here is simply this. We love the Lord, and it's so easy for us to become a Martha. It's so easy to worry about the biscuits. Are the biscuits going to burn? How's the potato salad going? We got 50 people coming in here, and they're going to be hungry. And Jesus says, just come with me. Let's just be alone because you're a little tired. You need some rest. And so when... So he just wants to spend time with us. And in that time, he will give us exactly what we need. Amen? Amen.
Wow, that was great, huh? That was good. Word. Do you want to ask your neighbor a question? No. You know, I had a lady come to me and she said, my husband doesn't want to come to the church anymore. And I said, why? She said, because he's afraid you're going to ask him to turn to his neighbor and maybe pray with his neighbor. So... anyway, so we do it more now. Now, you want to ask your neighbor, do you have a bird brain? Go ahead. No. Hey, wow, what a good word. All right. Okay. Yeah, we're in the church. We're smart enough to be in the church. Okay. But, you know, what he said, I mean, I'm not going to comment on it, but oh, wow. Wow, we love you. We love you. Wow, you are awesome. Thank you, Lord. Wow, it's amazing. You know, a 14-year-old boy healed of TB, Don Barnes pastoring people, you and I being here tonight, his grace abounds, doesn't it? Okay, next speaker, Pastor Jack Wheatley from Chicagoland. Come on up, Pastor. And share with us.
There you go.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. The sight from the stage was amazing. To see the love that's here. 15 years ago, my wife and I, 2 weeks after we got married, we packed up. We said, we're going to Baltimore. See, because there was a great heart that came to Chicago, Pastor Harry Weisskopf. He said, I knew I had to go. And he came, and we heard, and we knew that what was here was amazing. But what was told to us, we could not conceive of. And when we came and we ate, and it was good. We are here for 10 years. My wife has followed me, and she is awesome. Even as I was going through the mountains of West Virginia at 1 o'clock in the morning, screaming about who knows, God knows how fast I was going. I won't tell you. I won't incriminate myself. But she stuck with me through thick and thin, and we're here tonight. And my son, he wanted to come, and he wanted to hear. And so that's an awesome thing to have the little ones come. And they want to hear the wisdom, the pure truth, as Don Barnes said. We have, I'm not a uniformitarian, I'm a dispensationalist. And we've had something amazing happen in Chicagoland. In a moment in time, we have been given a building free and clear. We have been given a body, and we have something awesome happening, and we are celebrating. So I thank you for all of your prayers. We have Pastor Schaller coming in August. We have a Love Elgin event where we're going to have the Christians Farmers Outreach, and we're going to spread the love of God. People need the love of God. Let's pray. Father God, we praise you, and we thank you for this great evening. Lord, I just ask that you would do me with your power. Give me the strength to speak your words, not mine, Lord, but yours. Give us ears to hear, and may we be ever changed. In your name, amen. So Theodore Roosevelt said, weasel words from mollycoddles will never do when the day demands prophetic clarity from great hearts. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. When I first heard of the theme, I was provoked in thought. Wisdom for our time. I thought, wow, let me think of this. Our time. If I was of the world, I would think that now is my time to create my reality so that I may ascend unto the mountains and do what it is that I would want to do. I would think, as in Daniel 7:25, it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and to think to change times and laws. And that is happening before our very eyes, that the thought of man is changing, that the culture is changing, and that the very vocabulary by which we speak is changing. My heart breaks. My heart breaks, especially for the people that are so confused in their souls that they do not know the perspective from which they ought to view things. To think that the nomenclature in psychiatric care and psychology would be changed, that people would say transgenderism. That's a misnomer. The correct term is gender dysphoria. This aptly defines the frustration with how these people perceive their own sexuality, and the most appropriate treatment is not to reassign their physical body, but it's more along the treatment for anemics to repair the psyche, to correct their thought patterns about themselves. And to see and to know that in February 22nd of 2011, there was this study done, long-term follow-up of transsexual persons undergoing sex reassignment surgery. And the conclusions were that persons after sex reassignment have considerably higher risks for premature mortality. In the general sense, they are 2.8 times more likely to die prematurely. Suicidal behavior increases 19 times. Psychiatric morbidity increases 2.8 times. The findings suggest that sex reassignment, although it may alleviate gender dysphoria for a small time, may not suffice as treatment for transsexualism, and it should inspire improved psychiatric and somatic care. This is why John Hopkins University, they were on the forefront of this type of surgery for sex reassignment, and they actually stopped in the 70s because they saw they weren't helping anybody. You can change the junk in the trunk, but you cannot forever reconstruct 37.2 trillion cells in the human body. Every cell in the human body cries out, I am a man or I am a woman. And God has made it so. Weasel words from mollycoddles will never do when the day demands prophetic clarity from great hearts. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Never more true was a cosmic expression expressed as in Romans 1:18 and 19, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it unto them. And I was in this contemplation, and I was wondering. I couldn't find solace anywhere. I was looking for direction, for wisdom. I found wisdom at the Chinese restaurant. You know, they've got those little cookies. I was with my son, actually, after a baseball game. He had a heartbreaker of a loss. He did. But I opened the cookie, and this is what it says. You have at your command the wisdom of the ages. How true is that? We have the wisdom of the ages to think that a cookie would edify me and exhort me. So I need to bring you a little exhortation and edification. If you were to open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 13, we would find it here. And as Paul is readying himself to close out his epistle, he writes to the Romans. And this is what he says in verse 11. He says, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. In the Greek, that word I know is I do, and it means to properly see in perfection, and to be aware, and to behold, and to know what is happening. And that word time there is kairos, and it means a specific period of time, meaning that we would know the age and the time that we are in at this moment in time, and we wouldn't just have a cursory knowledge, but we would have an intimate knowledge of the implication that it has on our own hearts and our own souls. To know the time. That now is high time. And it says in the Greek, now high time is hoorah. That we would know the exact instant that we are in. And we would know the implications that we have to awake out of sleep. We must be called to action and to know. Because the night is far spent. This doesn't mean like far spent. I think I'm spent. Like, last night was tough. I'm spent. I need some rest. I'm done. No, this word far spent here is prokepto. And it means that it is driving forward as if by beating to advance and to grow in time and in space and to increase. And it's actually being modified by day, which means that it's moreover and in an exceeding rate, that it is pressing forward and it is on the move. But the day is at hand. We have the truth. We know how the story ends. I know how the story ends. I will use prophetic clarity. I want to be a great heart. I don't want to be a mollycoddle using weasel words. I want to be as Patrick Henry. This is what he said. The American Revolution was the grand operation which seemed to be assigned by the deity to the men of this age in our country, over and above the common duties of life. I ever prize at a high rate the superior privilege of being one in that chosen age to which Providence entrusted its favorite work. What if his favorite work is coming very soon? That we have one last chance to make one last plea to all those that we know, that we will say, come, know love, share love, be with us. Because I want to be one on the horse. I want to be one on the horse with the very one that has his vesture dipped in blood, faithful and true, in the brightness of his coming, he will vanquish the enemy in a moment in time, and we will be there. But for now, in this time, let us know, let's have a great heart, let's know the day is at hand, that the darkness has no power over the light. Amen.
Could you all stand, please?
Thank you. Thank Jesus tonight. The voice is coming, don't worry. It can probably happen right during the message. Luke chapter 4. Thank you for microphones, Jesus. if I clear my throat, it only happens about 12,000 times a day, so don't worry about it. I'm really thankful. There's many people that have many solutions for this. But it really shows me they care. That's the body cares. So I never get worn out with the solutions. I write them in my mind and then I pray. Thank you. It's great to be here. Luke chapter 4. Thank you for those portions of scripture that were preached, the word that was preached, the messages that are here. Are not we privileged people that we are in a place where the word of God is exalted? I esteem the word above my necessary food. He exalts his word above his name. And that's amazing. And he is the word, not just letter that kills, but the spirit that gives life. Lo, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will. I'm in the book. You search the scriptures, and in them you think you have eternal life, but you will not come to me. In the beginning was the what? The word. And the word was with God, and the word, Greek language says, absolutely is God. So, Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Are you coming to destroy us? Came to destroy the works of the devil. You come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, and this is like my slogan for today, my rhema for today. What a word is this? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. Father, thank you today. We thank you that wisdom and knowledge are the stability of our times and the strength of our salvations. That's what it says, plural, salvations. Thank you, God. You deliver us. Thank you that in the midst of evil days, we have the word and wisdom. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Is this water usable? It says, speak directly into the microphone for the quality of the recording. 2 to 3 inches from the mouth. You have to be careful in some places in the world when you are speaking, and there's a cord, and you put it near your mouth in the saliva. You could be electrocuted if you're not careful while you're preaching. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14 through 18 says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Christ shall give you light. How important that is. He gives us light. And he tells us to redeem the time for the days of our evil. Don't be foolish, but be wise in your understanding. So we are living in evil days. There's always been evil days. There's always been evil days. And we see it, as Pastor Wheatley said, the night is far spent. It means that darkness and evil are advancing. 2 Timothy 3:13 says the same thing. Evil grows worse and worse. It gets worse and worse. So I, as a believer, I need to have more of the word, more doctrine, more of God's mind, which will produce wisdom. How do you get wisdom without the word? It's impossible. There's a lot of wisdom out there which is from below. In James chapter 3, it's earthly, sensual from the soul, and demonic. and is trying to mix itself in and work itself into Christianity. So that people today that are in churches, even we heard today about a Bible school, and they said, we have a Bible school, but we don't teach the Bible. Well, what in God's name do you do? Because I know it's not in God's name. What's going on there? And so Jesus here, they said, the authority and the power of his word. The authority speaks of that which is on the outside, and the power speaks of that which is on the inside, exousia and dunamis. So God's word has power on the outside. It has authority. It has a capability and a right and a might to deal with anything that's going on out there. We are looking so many times for so many solutions. And that's why I believe Bible college, can I give a shout out for that? Come in the Bible school here would be an awesome decision to make. Decisions, right? How many times do we get things from God, we run it through the grid work of our human thinking and come out with what we call a Christian behavior, but it has nothing to do with God. We just attach something to it and say, God said. But how important it is for us to be people of the Word. The Word, authority and power. The Word can change people's lives. And they were shocked. They said, this is Joseph's son. This is, we know who he is. What kind of power and authority? They were astonished and they were amazed. And they said, what a word. What a word is this? Listen, John 19 verse 30 says, it is. Are you with me tonight? It is finished. What a word we have. What a word that is. God finished the work on the cross. There's nothing more that I can do, for Jesus did it all. What a word. The work is finished. Ephesians 2, 5 and 8. We are saved by grace, not by works and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. What a word. What a word we have. Jesus faces Satan in the wilderness, and he offers him, and he says to him, would you turn these stones, you're hungry, turn these stones into bread so that you can eat. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What a word. He's tested and tempted and takes him up to a high mountain. And he says, listen, you cannot tempt the Lord thy God. We must worship him. What a word. He will never leave me nor forsake me. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. Joshua chapter 1, 5 and 6. What an amazing. Deuteronomy 31, 4 through 6. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. What a word. What a word. I have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. How many? All. What a word. What a word. God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. What a word. What a word. If God be for me, Romans 8, 31, who can be against me? What a word. Wisdom and knowledge are the stability of our times and the strength of our salvations. Plural. We're being saved. We've been saved. We're being saved. We shall be saved. What? Word. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. You know what God said to me? I begged the Lord 3 times for this throat. Take it away. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made what? Perfect in your weakness. What a word. What a word. They were astonished and amazed. Today, I'm afraid that in much of Christianity, people are not astonished and amazed at the word. It's amazing. I heard it in 1976 on Fort Pleasant Avenue in Springfield, Massachusetts, parked on the side of the road listening to WACE, and all of a sudden the voice came on the radio and he was preaching the Bible, and I shut the car off and I turned the radio on. I said, what a word is this? What's this I'm listening to? And traced the voice. What a word. Stand still and see the salvation of God. Fear not. The Egyptians you see today, you will see no more. What a word. Be still and know that I am God. Psalm 46:10. What a word. What a word we have. I will love you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness I will draw you. Right? What a word. What a word. This is awesome. He sent his word to heal, 107:20. What a word. And I want to be in the place like a little child that I am astonished and amazed at the Bible. We hear it being preached. We heard the word. I heard Pastor Sam today. I said, I hope he doesn't pray for me. If he prayed and electricity, lightning hit the state house, I was going to tell him I'm not getting on his bad side. What a word. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, first and the last. He who is, who was, and is to come, who is alive, died, and am alive forevermore. What a word. What a word we have. Heaven is our home. John 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus said it, I go to prepare you a place. And if I go to prepare you a place, I will come again and bring you with me. What a word. We're going to heaven. Wow, delivered. Body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, faithful is he who calls you, who will also do it. What a word. What a word we have. And I don't want to be familiar with it. I can see in a lot of Christianity as I travel around the world. I've been in many countries and I can see the devil coming in to take it away. Mary has chosen the good part which shall not be taken from her. Luke 10, 38 through 42. Let her alone. Okay, she's chosen the good part. Martha, you're cumbered about with much serving. You're careful and troubled about so many things. She chose the word, and she was probably sitting there saying, what a word. What a word. What a word. I'm not doing the dishes right now. What a word. Not cleaning the bathroom. What a word. What a word. Acts chapter 6, we said this today. Should we leave the word and serve tables? See, Satan wants to take the word and he wants to get us to leave the word. And we say to him, what a word. We know how to have victory experientially over the kingdom of darkness. These are evil days. All this stuff that's going on, by the way, I don't pay much mind to it. I'd rather pay mind to the Bible. And the truth, I'm not saying I'm not aware of what's going on, but I'm not going to become so aware that it controls any part of my thinking and gives my mind over to something other than what a word. What a word. Are you listening? For me to live is Christ. To die is gain. Somebody said, you know, at your age, still doing the things you're doing, I have something to tell you. Listen, what a word. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. What a word. My God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory. What a word. I'm hid with Christ in God. Colossians chapter 3, 1 and 2. What a word. What a word. As pastors and as we see this ministry in the Word, growing in the Word, we thank God for Pastor Stevens, who showed us the importance of Bible study, Bible memory, Bible meditation, Bible preaching, and Bible living. What a word. What a word. He says, oh, did you see that athletic performance? What a joke. What a joke. Have you seen these seven wonders of the world? I don't even know what they are. Oh, have you been to the Grand Canyon? No, I've been to the high mountain with Christ. What a word. By the way, I have never owned a camera, and I've been in 100 countries, and I don't take pictures because I'm not interested. I'm sorry, my wife, I shouldn't. It's good to take pictures. I just don't like taking pictures. I haven't got the time and can't figure out how to do it anyway. What a word. Call upon me and I will answer and show you great mighty things that you know not of. What a word. And they were astonished and amazed. And they said, what a word. God deals with the evil. The days are evil. The devil, the demons, the world system, the flesh running crazy all over the planet. You know what does it? What a word does it. He comes as the word. I love this. He comes as the word with the word. What a word. What a word. God gives us Rhema's 6:17 of Ephesians. Acts 5:20, preaching Rhema's. What a word. What a word. You got saved. You know what it was? What a word. You heard the word and you said, yes, God. What a word. What a word. Let's not allow the enemy to take it. Let's not leave it. What a word we have in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.